Welcome to the Mindful Sports Podcast. I'm Coach Sam.
Mindful Sports, teaching mindfulness and sports together.
Today, I'm joined by Maria Carolina Cardenas from Columbia. Maria works with young athletes, teaching them mindfulness and performance training. And we're so happy to have Maria on the podcast today. How are you, Maria?
Good, Sam. So happy to talk to you today. So thank you.
Of course. Of course. Maria is a graduate of the Mindful Sports Online Mindfulness Program. And she's been using the program and her own background and training to help young athletes with their performance, both with their optimal performance and with their experience in their performance. So Maria, I would love to start off and just hear a little bit more about what you're doing in Columbia, what you've done, the programs that you've run, and what you're doing now.
Okay, Sam. I started a program a few months ago with go-kart racing kids. It was a program for kids between 5 and 7 years old. Actually, there were a couple of four-year-old boys over there. So that was a program that took 8 weeks to run. And then after that, I've been working with a few young athletes between 10 and 13 and 14. Some of them play tennis. The other ones are squash players and some racing, go-kart racing kids as well.
That sounds amazing, Maria. And my first question is about the ages of the kids that you're working with, because it sounds like a wide range. If you've worked with children as young as 4 and as old as 13, I'd love to hear a little bit about what you found in working with those different ages. If you found challenges with certain ages and not others, or preferences, or what kids may have picked up the material and how, but I'd just love to hear your reflections on working with such different ages with this type of material.
Yeah, it's actually very challenging. I found it to be very challenging. I think it's easier for me, at least, to work with small kids, with the younger ones. It's all playful and it's all about games, and they just enjoy, you know, I think they are mindful naturally. You don't have to teach them anything. They just are, so you just have to sort of connect with them and go with the flow, because they are flowing naturally. So it's more about stopping the resistance of the flow from coming from the adults around them, rather than connecting them with the flow. So it's a lot easier for me to work with young ones. With the bigger ones, it's a challenge, because it's hard to engage with those kids that are sort of in this stage where they don't want to be treated as kids. They don't want to be all game and playful, but they sort of do in very deep inside. So you have to approach it. What I found is that I had to approach them in a very mature sort of adult way, so they feel seen and they feel validated as, you know, as a peer. But then I like to motivate them with things that are, they don't feel this as childish. So we play Jenga, for example, at the beginning, or some those sorts of things that engage them and make them feel, because they are mindful while they're playing. So it's sort of playing with them and then making them realize that what they're doing, that what they were just doing was being mindful, and it was mindful for them. It was a mindful activity. So yeah, it has been a challenge for sure.
Well, that sounds like a brilliant way to reach someone in that late stage of pre-adolescence and adolescence, to help them, like you so eloquently put, to feel like an adult, even though they may still want some of those aspects of a relationship and a connection that have been a part of previous stages as they are transitioning between the two. Besides Jenga, I'd love to hear your thoughts on how you found ways to try and to reach that group, because I'm sure parents of teenagers everywhere Would love to hear that too.
One thing that I found fabulously engaging with them was music, because they sort of feel that their parents don't like the music that they like. I don't personally do either most of the time. Mm-hmm. But I just try to connect with them through those sorts of things. Like, and so we started the session, for example, with one of them, like, what kind of music do you like? And we started listening to some of the songs he liked. And we sort of, I tried to pay attention to the lyrics, which is usually not very appropriate. But then it was a subject that I could use to make him reflect on those lyrics and make him, to sort of feel attracted to the music, not just because of the rhythm, but because of the lyrics, and then make a reflection out of that. So that was another way of engaging with them. I also asked them about their friends or what they're doing, and sort of being interested on their life and make them feel safe and secure, that this is a safe space for them. I'm not going to tell this to anyone. Nobody's going to hear anything about what we talk. So they sort of loosen up. They feel more comfortable every time, and I think the music is just a very good component of that.
I love that. That is certainly a timeless gap between generations, is music taste. Every generation has their opinions on the next generation's preferences. So to be able to cross that bridge, that sounds like a wonderful way to build rapport. My next question about that group, without getting into specifics, so that we can honor what you just shared about not getting into the details that may be sensitive about the young people that you're working with, but in general, what have you found in that age group that they are interested in working on with you? If there are any themes that you found that as a group, that those older children, those young athletes, are concerned about when it comes to their sports and performance?
Yeah, they definitely feel motivated about winning. You know, they are become very competitive at this age, and it's very important for them to win. And to what I found is that they do come to the sessions because they feel that it's going to make them have an advantage over the other ones. So they want to see results. You know, they don't come just for the play and for the good time. They want to see that they're doing better. So, I think that's a very important, and we have to honor that as well. Like, I tell them, okay, I'm not the one who's playing. I'm not the one who's sitting in the car or having the racket. So this is going to be your work. I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna be next to you, but I'm not going to do it. So you have to do it yourself and try what I'm telling you. And when they see it as an advantage for winning, when they see it as a sort of part of their whole training, part of the rest of the physical training or whatever else they're doing, they engage and they get motivated.
It's a great point, Maria. At that age, winning matters. And often we live in a culture where we're trying to deliver a message to kids that it doesn't matter or it's okay if you lose. And sometimes that message can dilute how a young athlete is feeling, because like you just said, winning does matter to them. So to say that it doesn't or that it's okay may not be hitting the right notes. And I'd love to hear how you balance those feelings that they have, that you notice, with how you're delivering the mindfulness training and how you approach their desire to win. And then again, how you use mindfulness to help them with those feelings and with their performance.
Yeah, I think the first approach is that they are, I help them be mindful of their desire to win and honor that and feel comfortable about that and feel comfortable about their frustration when they don't as well, because it's part of the game, it's part of life, and it's part of being mindful. I am aware that I want to win. I am aware that I get frustrated when I don't. I am aware that I probably get arrogant or whatever when I do. Like all those aspects of the game, and being mindful about all those feelings and all those emotions and what they do to you and what they, at the end, how they play in your performance is very important, because for example, there's a kid that plays tennis that he gets very frustrated in the middle of the game when he doesn't serve well, for example, and he quickly goes down that, you know, that path of I'm not capable, I'm not doing, I'm this is too hard, whatever. So being mindful of those emotions, for him it's important to get out of the emotion. So, you know, just breathe, being aware of what you're feeling is the first step. Because if you try to tell yourself something different from what you're feeling, you're not going to get out of there. You're not going to get out of that loop. So first of all, breathe, be aware, and take those 20 seconds or 30 seconds or whatever that you have to serve to breathe and use the breathing technique. And that always... it's a helpful tool, but you know, not always can do it. You don't always have the what it takes to breathe, but it helps.
So well said, and a wonderful reminder to all of us. We can't get through something until we go into it. And it's such a powerful message that you're delivering to these young people. And it sounds like it's going really well. My last question, Maria, is just about you and your experience with this wonderful work that you're doing. What's your favorite part of working with young athletes and kids and using mindfulness to help them? What do you enjoy the most?
I'm going to be very selfish. And please. I enjoy that part of me that has to play with them, because I have to engage. I have to engage with them. And I have to enjoy playing with them as much as they do. So I think we adults forget how much fun life is, and how we came here just to have fun, and how these kids do this and do the sports and whatever they do just because they're having fun. So it really is an uplifter for me to work with these kids, because it's a reminder of being playful, of being joyful, of being fun and irreverent, and you know, all these wonderful qualities that kids have so instantaneously. So yeah, that's what I enjoy. Have to remind myself that I was also a kid and I can be joyful and play again.
another incredible reminder for us all. And often when we are teaching and helping children, they are returning that service to us and reminding us of invaluable moments and lessons like that too. So Maria, thank you so much for sharing your stories and for joining us today. It's been wonderful to connect with you and hear about how everything is going.
Thank you so much, Sam. I so much appreciate everything you've taught me, everything we've talked about, and these wonderful, wonderful coaching experience and career that I'm enjoying really so much.
I'm so happy to hear that, Maria. You are doing wonderful, amazing work, and the kids and young athletes that you're with are so lucky to have you. So thank you again for sharing today and for being with us. And we hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Sam.